Is it recording?
Yes.
Okay. So this is Forrest Elise interviewing Connie Battier on May 23rd at 1:45 for the Creative Push Project. All right. So we'll get started.
Okay.
Can you take us back as far back as the conception?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was January or so of 1977, and my husband and I had taken my parents to Mexico for a visit, and they had never been. And it is said in the family that the baby was conceived during that time when we were in Mexico. It sort of meant something because we're Latinos, and my husband's Mexican American. I'm from Puerto Rico. Soon thereafter, my husband and I had started, we were living in Dallas, Texas, where he was a professor at SMU, and we had started jogging. And I in jogging, you know, my breasts hurt, so I said, oh, I bet I have to go buy a sports bra. So I did, but they still hurt. And then I got constipated. So I called, there were no cell phones then. And I called my mom, and we talked, and I said, gosh, I'm constipated. I don't know what's going on. So she didn't say anything. And next thing I knew, I got a letter from my uncle in Puerto Rico telling me to drink prune juice. So I said, okay. But in the meantime, my sister, who was living in Philadelphia at the time, called. And when I described my symptoms, she said, oh, you're pregnant. I said, how do you know that? She said, well, you know, those are pregnant symptoms of pregnancy. So I got on the phone and tried to make an appointment. And I got an appointment with the second doctor that I called because the first one was very popular. And of course, I will forever be sorry that that happened that way. I was nervous because it was not a planned pregnancy, but I always knew that I was going to have a child. I wasn't preventing a pregnancy at the time, but I had never been pregnant before. So it was a bit of a surprise, but then I got nervous because my husband is visually impaired, and at that time, his vision wasn't as bad as it is now, but I didn't know why he was visually impaired. So I thought, oh my God, my child could be blind. I got very nervous. When I went to see this doctor, I asked him if he performed abortions, and he said no. But that was my first visit with him, and he gave me the test. And as soon as, that was in the morning, and I went to lunch with my husband, and we talked about it. Now, my husband had been married before, and he had two daughters, so it didn't make much of a difference to him whether I was pregnant or not. And I said, well, I'm going to go back and find out what happened to the rabbit or something. So I did. And the minute the doctor told me that I was pregnant, I just, I left his office and I was just elated. And I fell in love at that very moment. So driving back home, there was no doubt that this baby was going to be born. And I called my mother. This is going to be hard. And she said, now you'll know how much I love you. And she was right. So the pregnancy went fairly well. Trying to think now whether it was late February, March. I quickly went out and bought books, and then the book that was available was Dr. Spock, And I only remember in Dr. Spock reading a little bit about the pregnancy, but I didn't have, like they have now, you know, books that tell you so much more about what the woman is going through, what's happening in the womb, and so on and so forth. So there were just mostly books about how to raise a child or a baby, how to deal with a baby. So we went on this trip to we were living in Dallas, Texas, and I went on this trip, this car trip, down to the border where my husband's family lived. We had planned this visit for a long time, and everybody was happy that I was pregnant, and I just read and read and read. Soon after that, I caught a cold, and I was about 3 or 4 months pregnant. I caught a cold. It was terrible. It lasted for 3 to 4 weeks, and I had a different symptom every week. It was like once there was, the one I'll never forget is when I couldn't, I had laryngitis. And of course, the doctor had told me, you can't take any medications. And my husband used to travel a lot, and I was just lonely in Dallas. I had no friends, no family in Dallas. So I called my mother, and when I got on the phone, I couldn't speak, and I'm going, Mom, Mom. And she hung up on me. She thought it was a prank or something. And I did that twice, and finally, you know, I just gave up. But it was a very difficult time for me. And then another week, it was coughing all the time. There were several different symptoms. And I had a friend who was into the, the spiritual, I guess. And she said that she had a friend who was a chiropractor. She said, he'll come to your house and he'll do some work on you. I said, oh, great, anything. And he did. He came to the house. He set up this, you know, portable bed. I laid on it. He said, close your eyes. And he, you know, did his magic. And I felt so much better. I felt a lot better. I was getting bigger, and it seemed as if I was getting bigger than most people or most women at 4 or 5 months pregnant. But I didn't know anything about pregnancy, other than what I'd read. Some families, the women get pregnant and everybody knows what's going on and what's happening. But I didn't grow up in that kind of family, so I knew nothing. I was really, really naive and ignorant of any of that stuff. So it was one of the hottest summers in Dallas, and I had a real hard time just, you know, pulling together any energy. There were several things that happened during that summer. Before the summer, I was working, and one day, after I'd been sick for those weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, I was feeling better because this guy had, you know, done whatever he did. And I got up, I was hungry, I had a cantaloupe and my coffee, I think. And I went out to the car and I threw up all over the grass. I just threw up. And I just went around in circles in the grass. I never forget that. And of course, you know, after you throw up, you feel better. So that was that. I did not eat cantaloupe for I can't tell you how many years after that. It was more like 20 years before I ate cantaloupe again. So I forgot to tell you something. There was one symptom that I had. This is before I knew I was pregnant. My husband complained that I was very moody and that I was not being friendly to people, because we used to go to a lot of conferences and things. And he said, oh, boy, you're such a sourpuss, and so on. And I had no idea why that was. I soon learned later that a lot of it was because of what was going on in my body. But, you know, you sort of get blamed for a lot of that stuff that happens. And you don't know what it's about, but neither do they, but it's easier to blame you. So I mentioned earlier that that was a real hot, hot summer. And it was Dallas, so it was humid. It was like, oh, you went out and you could feel the humidity just, I mean, it just fell over you. It was like a cloud of water, but not anything you could really drink. It just kind of stuck to your skin. It was horrible. And my husband wanted me to walk in the evenings with him in the neighborhood. I was in no mood to do it, and it was so fucking hot that I just couldn't stand it. In the meantime, we were looking for a place to live, because we were renting at the time near the university. We had to live close to the university because he was visually impaired and it was easier for him to like walk to the university than because he couldn't drive. So we were looking for a house, but the neighborhood we lived in was like one of the richest neighborhoods in Dallas, and we could never afford a house there. So we went went outside of that neighborhood, and every afternoon I'd have to drive in the car. In the meantime, I'm like this big, and it's hot, and I'm uncomfortable, and we're looking at homes, and it was not fun. It was not fun at all. And my husband was pissed at me because I was not in a good mood. I didn't have any symptoms, like I couldn't feel anything. I did, you know, there was a time when there was some movement, and that was it. I was feeling good, and I would go to the doctor, and I would, you know, and the checkups were fine. One day, the doctor, at that time, they used something they call a fetoscope, because there was no ultrasound, and so they put it over your belly, and they could hear the baby's heartbeat. So I'm lying there, and I said, well, as he's doing this, I said, well, how will I know if I'm going to have twins? How would I know if that? He said, well, you can't know, because if both hearts are beating simultaneously, you can't tell. I said, oh, okay. So, all right, that was one question. And then I was lying down at home. By this time, I've left my job, and I'm lying in bed, and I see these two, like, footballs moving across my stomach, just like that, one toward one side and one toward the other. And my immediate thought was, oh, this is his head, and this is his, you know, this is his rear end, and he's moving. You know, I later found out that there were two of them in there. And I told my husband, and we laughed about it and all that, but that made me think about twins. And I know on my mother's side there were no twins, and I only knew of one set of twins on my father's side. I didn't know at that time that my mother-in-law had twins. And both of them had died. She said that she gave birth. She laid in bed, and this was a home birth. She laid in bed, and she could hear them crying. And once they stopped crying, she knew they were dead. So I had this feeling about it, but I didn't know for sure. And one day, I'm into my 7th or 8th month, and I had I asked the doctor, I told the doctor that I had read that if you start to have diarrhea, then that may be, there may be a problem. But he just poo-pooed it, and he just said, oh, you know, I don't know where you get that information. So, you know, naive Connie, I did nothing about it. And then finally, and then I did have diarrhea, but I thought, that's me because I'm eating a lot of fruit, because, you know, I also had, you know, a heartburn. So again, I thought, well, the doctor said, not a problem. And one day, we had bought a house, and one day we're at the house, and I was lying on the carpet in the living room of the house, and I felt a twinge, and I moved, and then I just called my husband, who was in the back of the house, and I said, you know, something's not right, we better go. And he was hungry, and when my husband's hungry, that's it. Nothing can get in the way of food. And so he said, well, let's stop at Wendy's. Let's stop so I can get something to eat. I said, fine. I get in the car, and I'm feeling this pain on either side. Stop at Wendy's. And we go in, and he gets food, and I'm sitting there watching him eat, and all of a sudden, I just had to get up. I said, I have to get up. I got up, walked out. He came after me. I got in the car, and I started to drive, and I just couldn't. I had to keep pulling over to the side of the road because I was having these contractions that were really, really painful. And all I wanted to do was get home. That's all I wanted. I said, if I could just get home. Well, we didn't get home because I'm in my neighborhood, which, again, is a very ritzy neighborhood. I'm in my neighborhood. My husband is in his jeans with paint splattered all over them from having done work in the house. And I'm ready. I stopped the car and I said, I'm going to lie down on the street. I can't. I'm going to lie down on the street. And he said, no, you can't. I said, well, get me some help. So he knocks on the door and this young woman answers and he told her what was wrong. And she said, oh, you know, get her in here. So they get me inside the house and they looked like they were 14, but she had on this gown, this sort of nightgown, and he had on like a smoking jacket, and they were very nice. They said, lie down here, and I thought, oh my God, they look so young. So I was on the sofa, and my husband called the doctor, and the doctor said, well, she can't be pregnant now, and I just lost it. I said, tell him to get the fuck over to the hospital. I was so angry. It was like, you know, here he is telling me again that, you know, what you're feeling isn't what's the way it's supposed to be, but I'm feeling it.
So he said, you can't be in labor.
Yeah. He said, you can't be in labor. That, well, I was feeling it. So
how far along were you?
I was, 8 months, 8 months. Yeah. So they called the ambulance. I had to walk out of the house because I couldn't get the stretcher inside. And then I'm lying in the ambulance, and this kid, who was, again, all of 15, says, well, spread your legs. We can deliver the baby here. And I thought, oh, dear God, no, please, no, this can't be. And it was a real bumpy ride. And I said, no, I'll wait. And real bumpy ride to the hospital. I get there, and they just, you know, attach me to these machines, but then the machines are not, something's wrong with the machines. They're not, you know how they're supposed to sort of monitor your contractions? And the nurse kept coming into the room. In the meantime, my husband, you know, is trying to make me feel better, and I'm saying, leave me alone. Don't touch me. And he's saying, well, I'm supposed to touch you to make you feel better. No, get away. And then at one point the nurse comes in and she says, I'm going to have to call the doctor. He comes in and she says to him, I think there are two babies in there. And my first thought was, oh my God, I only have one crib, you know. So the doctor checked and he said, yes, so we'll have to take you in. And we had planned for my husband to be with me and they wouldn't let him in. So I went in. Into this, you know, it felt like the biggest operating room with all these machines and monitors on a wall, and it was very, very cold. And I'm half naked, and the doctor said, you know, we'll have to give you an epidural, and I'm afraid of needles. I went, oh my God, no, you know, can you do something else? No, you know, bend over. How could I bend over? My stomach was in the way. So finally, they got me to bend over, and he gave me the epidural, and I laid back, and as I looked to my left, I could see on a monitor, I could see my womb, and I could see two babies. And then I was, you know, I guess he just, you know, slit my stomach and